Hello, I'm Luc Gauthier. This is number 0139, the Stuff File program, with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0139. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, dancer Michael Silas, who is the principal male dancer on Lady Gaga's tour.
It takes months to put something like the production of a tour together. You have a team of over like 125 people working together to make one vision come together on a nightly basis, the same thing night to night, back to back, for years. I mean, some people go on tour for years. Luckily, my longest one was only 2 years, which my body took a beating then, but, you know, it prepares you. If you can go through anything like that, I'm a firm believer you can overcome anything.
Actress Nicole Paggi, star of the Hallmark television movie Undercover Bridesmaid.
Well, the movie is called Undercover Bridesmaid. I am actually playing the bride, and Brooke Burns is playing my undercover bridesmaid. I'm a southern bride, and my father is a tycoon, and we've been getting death threats, so he hired a bodyguard for me that goes undercover, and it's my bridesmaid.
Stuart Nullman with another edition of Book Banter.
I'm Stuart Nullman. On this edition of Book Banter, talk show legend Regis Philbin tells us how he got this way in his latest book, plus some other good talk show reads. So we'll be right back with more on the Stuff File program.
And there's lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0139, is freelance cameraman Luc Gauthier, who also works with me at Global News here in Montreal. Thank you very much, Luc, for doing the slate on this edition of the Stuff File program. Let's get right to the Stuff File news, shall we? Well, an Easter egg hunt in England went bust big time after a 3-year-old boy found a live hand grenade among the hidden eggs. 34-year-old Stuart Moffat, who was there with his wife and 3 kids, saw the child standing over a World War II-era explosive at the Holford Somerset event and immediately began moving several preschool-age children away from the danger. The bomb squad was called and safely detonated the grenade after closing off the area and everyone was clear. About 25 children aged between 2 and 5 were hunting for eggs at the event, which could have been quite disastrous. Reportedly, there used to be an American Army base in Holford during the Second World War, which may be where the grenade came from. Yes, Easter egg hunts are always fun and games until someone loses fingers. Meanwhile, if most of us had our own strip clubs shut down by the city, we'd just move on to the next town. Not so for Ryan Gant of Arlington, Texas. The FBI has arrested the strip club owner for allegedly trying to hire killers for Mayor Robert Kluck and other city officials. Gant is the owner of Flash Dancer, and the warrant says he wanted to pay illegal immigrants from Mexico $10,000 per murder victim. Gant's motive, according to the affidavit, was a nuisance lawsuit filed against Flashdancer. The city settled out of court, and the club was supposed to close down for 1 year. According to the affidavit, Gant was angry and claimed the city cost him $800,000 in lost business and was trying to revoke his business license to stop him from reopening. Wow. Is anybody out there concerned about those two poor Mexican illegal immigrant hitmen who are now out of work? I mean, you know, it is a struggling economy and all. Okay, here's a pro tip. If you really want to keep your home meth lab a secret, best not throw your chemicals at your girlfriend in a fit of rage. In Palm Harbor, Florida, deputies were responding to a domestic disturbance call when they were greeted by a strong chemical odor. One deputy was actually taken to a hospital after having an adverse reaction to the smell. Turns out the smell was coming from a meth lab, and the woman who called police had chemicals thrown at her by her boyfriend, who police believe was operating the lab. The sheriff's office did not release any names as the investigation is ongoing, but the man was arrested on a domestic violence charge. Now, there's a relationship that probably won't survive counseling. I'm just guessing. And this is about as disturbing as it gets. And by the way, men will write their own punchline for this one. In Brookings, South Dakota, a woman has been arrested for allegedly breaking into a home and breastfeeding the owner's baby. Yes, the baby's mother said she found the intruder feeding her two-month-old infant at about 5 a.m. She quickly called 911 and managed to get her baby back from the woman, who then laid down on a bed until police arrived to arrest her. The suspect was not named, but it was revealed that she is 24 and that alcohol is believed to have played a part in the incident. Again, gentlemen, punchline is yours, floor is yours, write your own. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, a 5-year-old boy brought packets of heroin to show and tell, leading to the arrest of his stepfather. It seems the little boy was proudly displaying packets of powdery substances at his kindergarten class when a teacher noticed what he was holding. Detective Keith Bryant of the Bridgeport Police Department said the teacher collected the packets and immediately notified her supervisors. Later, the child's stepfather, 35-year-old Santos Ramon, showed up at the school looking for his stash, and he was promptly arrested. Bryant said he went to retrieve the heroin, and it wasn't there, so he came back for his stepson. He now faces 3 drug possession charges, including intent to sell within 1,500 feet of a school and risk of injury to a minor. Hopefully the school will now keep an eye on this child to see how really popular he becomes at school. Anyway, on to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Michael Silas is a dancer and an actor. In fact, he's been Lady Gaga's main dancer for 3 years and traveled the world with her. Michael joins us on the line right now from California. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, buddy?
Just tickety-boo, Michael. Just tickety-boo. Is being a dancer something you've always wanted to do?
Wow. You know what? Actually, I fell into dance because I used to be an athlete. I was a football player majority of my life, and I grew up in Germany playing soccer, the other football. But I used to always listen to music throughout my rehearsals and warm-ups, so music was just always something that was naturally ingrained in me. And then when I moved to America, I saw a pep rally for the first time where men actually danced, and I was like, wow, what is that? And I knew from that moment forward that I needed to do that.
Okay, so knowing that you wanted to dance and being able to dance are 2 different things. So when did you know you had the talent to do it?
That actually came a little later in life. Let's say thanks to the movie House Party, which inspired me to learn the infamous dance called The Running Man when I was in elementary school. From that moment forward, I knew because I was able to push myself to learn that dance that I had something within me that I could use.
Okay, so let's flash forward. You were a contestant on Bravo's Step It Up and Dance.
Yes.
What was that experience like? And I know it's a nerve-wracking kind of thing. If you knew then what you know now, how different would that experience have been?
Well, I would have known that, you know, not one aspect of my life is safe at all. If I would have known that, of course, you know, they make it seem like, you know, we have you, we're going to protect you, we're going to protect you. But at the end of the day, they want to use everything that they can to just, you know, put it all out there. And I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be, you know, just a little bit more intimate because that's the way it was broken down to me. But reality TV is reality TV, and they're going to get what they want. And they found a way to get everything that they wanted. But, you know, the experience was amazing. So, you know, I would do it again, but with a wiser hat on.
You talk about they want every piece of information. Did you find the experience intrusive?
A little bit, yes, at moments, because, you know, there's moments like just personal moments, like, I mean, shower, restroom, but, like, something like that, come on, like, who, the public don't want to see that, but cameras want to see it. And then moments where you're overly exhausted, working 17, 18-hour days, and you're just, you know, you're having a moment to yourself, and you look up, and the camera's right there. Mm.
Okay, so let's talk about touring with Lady Gaga. You've been a principal dancer with Lady Gaga for, is it 3 years now?
Yeah, it's been over 3 years. You know, it's so funny. Ever since I've joined her, it's overpowered everything that I've done because I've been touring since 2002, actually. And Kelly Rowland was the first person to put me on tour.
Okay. So the experience of being with someone who is as out there as Lady Gaga, does that open up your dance style, your personality? In other words, is it a freeing experience being on a tour with Lady Gaga?
Well, you know, I have to honestly say, each artist is completely different. All of my experiences with artists, they force you to open up a part of yourself that you probably didn't even know that you had because they're so creative and they're so passionate about their gift of artistry. So that makes you discover your artistry differently as well. And then working on somebody with the caliber of such a large superstar as she is, it makes you just, you know, work harder, make you become even more ambitious. It makes you want to put your freaking eye of the tiger on and just never turn back because they're right there doing everything with you. So you can't hold back if that person's right there with you. You got to go balls to the wall as well.
I get the impression because, you know, people talk about Lady Gaga's show and how extreme it is and how different it is and how wild it is. And I would assume that like any other theatrical presentation, there's a lot of work and a lot of discipline that goes into something that seems to be so outrageous. I would assume that the routine is just that, very routine.
Oh yeah! Oh my gosh! It's very straining on the mind, the body, and the spirit. I'll honestly say that it takes months to put something like the production of a tour together. You have a team of over like 125 people working together to make one vision come together on a nightly basis. The same thing night to night, back to back, for years. I mean, some people go on tour for years. Luckily, my longest one was only 2 years, which my body took a beating then. But you know, it prepares you. If you can go through anything like that, I'm a firm believer you can overcome anything. Because it's literally like I consider dancers and people that are on tour athletes because it's a muscle that you have to train.
People can go on YouTube, for those who haven't seen Lady Gaga's performances, people can go on YouTube and see some of the performances that involve you. And the best way I can describe it is very suggestive.
Well, you know, we're expressive with our body as the way she's expressive with her vocals and her music. And, you know, why hold back? Why hold back?
I'm sure that's something you're very comfortable with, having toured with her for several years now. But what was it like when you first started? Was there any apprehension?
No, never, never. I'm a firm believer. Each project is different. Never let one stage define the next stage. So go in there with an open mind and just let your gift shine bright and just let that energy of the crowd carry you throughout that show because you're going to need that shit working with somebody as strong as her.
Now, the idea, I mean, you've worked on her show for many years now, but you also do work as a choreographer. Is that a different mindset? Is that a different brain? You know, you mentioned you played sports. There are some people who are very, very good athletes, don't necessarily translate well when it comes to coaching later on. And I'm wondering if it's the same thing with dance. Is it an entirely different mindset, entirely different brain when you're teaching someone the steps as opposed to doing the steps yourself?
Yes, it's a different ball game, and it becomes more stressful for me personally because I am so I'm a visualist. Everything I see, I have to project it to the T. And then when you're trying to work with other people that don't move exactly the way you do, you have to have patience. And, you know, a lot of my students and dancers that I use, they make jokes by telling me that I have the patience of a kindergarten teacher because I'm so meticulous with how I want things to come off and how I want to portray things and how I hear music or how I want to create. So it's so freaking different. It's like being in front of the camera than going behind the camera. You know how it works, but once you're behind the camera, it's a whole different ball game.
I also alluded to at the beginning when I introduced you that you're also an actor. Do you have a desire to do more of that, or is dancing and choreography your primary goal in life?
You know what? I'm just very passionate about being expressive and being influencing people and mentoring and being an advocate, and acting has given me that plateau the same way that dancing has given me that. And I want to continuously, you know, keep myself on TV, whether it be film, reality TV, music video, whatever it is, to continue inspiring people through what I'm so passionate about. And that's anything that allows me to express my gift and talent.
When you started doing this, going back to before Bravo, Step It Up, and Dance, when you first said, this is what I want to do, did you project that at this time, this is where you'd be now, or are you ahead of the game, or what?
Well, you know, luckily for me, I have one of those stories that I had somebody that showed me that it could be tangible. When I was growing up in Houston, Texas, I took class at a studio called Houston Metropolitan Dance Center, and there was a woman, well, a young lady at that time, by the name of Solange Knowles, who took ballet there. And if you know that last name, that's Beyonce Knowles' little sister. So I knew that she was on the way of becoming a solo star and getting her own album deal. So I knew somebody that was able to show me that they were doing it and that you can do it here in Houston, and her sister being Beyonce, and the way they were doing it for Destiny's Child at that moment for Houston. It just showed me that, wow, there's people in my city that can do it. So that makes me know, that makes me for sure that I can do it as well.
What's been the biggest stumbling block throughout your career so far? The biggest hurdle you've had to overcome?
Self in the mind. The mind is one of the strongest things and one of the worst places to be as well, because, you know, you can find yourself making up this whole completely story that's not even real, and, you know, doubting yourself in such a, I call dance the ocean, because there's so many fish and there's so many sharks that are trying to do that I want to do. So just, you know, you start to doubt yourself, you start to get low self-esteem or whatever have you, and the jobs aren't coming in. So, you know, it's self. And once you overcome self and you realize that you are good enough and you start booking those jobs, you start getting that confidence and that courage starts to come. And once you get that, there's no turning back.
Is it very competitive?
Very competitive. I would say it's like athletes with tennis shoes on. Well, they wear tennis shoes, but athletes dancing. It's so competitive. Walking into an audition where they're only hiring four people, but you're walking into a room of 200 people.
How do you deal with the rejection? It's the same thing with actors, because it's one thing when somebody goes in for a particular, you know, any kind of job. People go for a resume and they put out their credentials and people say yay or nay based on that. But basically, as an actor, as a dancer, they're saying, no, we really don't like you.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny that, you know, sometimes you're it to the box, to the T, what they're looking for, and then sometimes you'll walk in there and you won't even get a chance to express yourself or even show your talent, and they'll just be like, you're not it, just by that. And you know, that is, if you're not sure within yourself or sure within your gift, that's a ball buster, and that can just really put you in a state that of doubt. And it happened to me my first year of living in LA. It was a fight, and you know, if you're not willing to go the 12 rounds, then you're in the wrong game.
One last question before we let you go, and that is, we talked about how interestingly different and bizarre it could be working on a Lady Gaga tour. What is something that you could tell us that would about either the touring with Lady Gaga or Lady Gaga herself that would surprise the audience?
She's a real musician, and people will be surprised by that. How, you know, how hands-on on everything, and she could sing. She's just not a pop star. She's a singer, artist, performer, extraordinary, and that's why she's doing what she's doing.
And having seen some of the videos, I could also say that you are a dancer. I'll just leave it at that.
I'm a performer. I love performing. It's in my DNA. I sweat it, bleed it, cut it. That's me.
Michael, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
I say thank you so much for this opportunity.
Dancer Michael Silas. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0139, and you'll find links to Michael's official fan page on Facebook.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands, just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
This is your safe haven from the hard news of the day. The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's radio for your happy place.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to actress Nicole Paggy, who stars in Undercover Bridesmaid on the Hallmark Channel. Plus, Stuart Nolman with another edition of Book Banter. And, of course, there is an idiot of the day. Plus, much more Stuff File news here on the Stuff File program, which is also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smart way to listen to radio. Let's get right back to the stuff, shall we? Well, they say there are only two certainties in life, death and taxes, but both may be more frequent occurrences on April 15th in the United States. A new study found that deadly auto accidents increase on tax day. Could it be to drivers recklessly racing to the post office to meet the deadline, or could it be that stressing over taxes distracts motorists and contributes to more human error? Examining 30 years of data, researchers found automobile-related deaths were 6% higher than usual on tax day. The researchers analyzed data from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and the results appear in the Journal of the American Medical Association. A spokeswoman for the Internal Revenue Service declined to comment on the study. Of course, they declined. But you know, those revenue vultures will try to find a way to get money out of a stone. Or for that matter, someone who is stone cold dead. Anyway, the TSA had their hands full at Denver International Airport after a woman took off a little more than her shoes. She stripped down to her birthday suit. Apparently, the woman had been smoking a cigarette in a non-smoking area inside Concourse B at around 8:45 a.m. with her clothes on. But when airport staffers asked her to put out the cigarette, the woman inexplicably took off all of her clothes and then nonchalantly asked the airport staffer if she could reprint her boarding pass. Reportedly, she was not arrested, but rather transported to a local hospital for a checkup from the neck up. Yes, the TSA gets a handful of T&A. Told you smoking could be hazardous to your health. And a Russian doctor lost his temper inside the Pelican Cars dealership in Moscow and effectively destroyed the showroom and all of the cars that were in it. The 40-year-old father of two and regular customer arrived to pick up his newly repaired Nissan Navara in a four-wheel drive Suzuki Grand Vitara. He was asked to wait a few moments while they brought out his car, but after 20 minutes, during which he sat in the reception area calmly smoking a cigarette, the obstetrician simply lost it and jumped in his Suzuki and rammed right through the front showroom window. Close-circuit television cameras inside the showroom capture the moment he burst into or onto the floor and began deliberately smashing into the vehicles on display. The madness came to an end after the doctor got his car wedged in an office doorway. He was arrested, and the company plans to press full charges. Fortunately, nobody was injured. I hope that's a doctor who doesn't make house calls. Then again, who really does anymore? And here's your irony laugh for the day. An 80-year-old drunk driver in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, has been arrested after failing to stop at a stop sign and crashing into, wait for it, a beer truck. Fortunately, no one was injured. This bud's for you. And when Samantha Phipps met Jack Ewing, she hoped her run of bad luck with two-timing men would change. Unfortunately, it was her own paranoia that proved to be her undoing. 26-year-old Samantha said, "I finally thought at last I found someone decent, and 6 weeks later, I moved in with him." But after a year or so, she got worried that 32-year-old Jack might be cheating on her. Turns out, he wasn't. Well, not until Samantha hired a woman who calls herself and her business Miss Honeytrap. Miss Honeytrap was in the business of finding out if she could get men to cheat with her. She would chat with the target, invite him to buy her a drink, and even take things as far as kissing if he was game. Then she'd arrange to meet him again at a hotel where the suspecting girlfriend or wife that hired her would be waiting. So Miss Honeytrap did arrange to run into Jack, and they did have a drink, and they started talking. And then they fell in love. Now Jack and Miss Honeytrap, whose real name is Jane Grill, age 26, are together, and Samantha is out one non-cheating boyfriend. Grill has also given up her part-time business as a honeytrap. Oh, you know that Samantha is now going to spend a lifetime with a house full of cats, don't you? Yes. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, police say a 49-year-old man tried to rob a Central New York bank armed with a toilet plunger. Utica police tell local media outlets that Lawrence Deptola went into Citibank and threatened a teller with a plunger. Police responded after two other banks had previously called authorities about a suspicious man entering their building. Deptola was arrested after a foot chase and charged with attempted third-degree robbery. Clearly, here is a bank robber who is not flushed with success. Yeah, I know. Anyway, on to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Actress Nicole Paggy is best known for her main role on the television show Hope and Faith from a few years ago, but she is also the main star in the upcoming Hallmark Channel movie Undercover Bridesmaid, and she's the designer of her own line of jewelry. Nicole joins us on the line right now from California. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us. So
thank you for having me.
Bridesmaid seems to be a very popular thing these days in films, especially for women's roles. So you're an undercover bridesmaid. Tell us what that's about on the Hallmark Channel.
Well, the movie is called Undercover Bridesmaid. I am actually playing the bride, and Brooke Burns is playing my undercover bridesmaid. I'm a Southern bride, and my father is a tycoon, and we've been getting death threats. So he's hired a bodyguard for me that goes undercover and is my bridesmaid.
Sounds like a fun role.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. So much fun. And Brooke Burns is great. I don't know if you know her from Melrose Place.
Right.
And other projects she's done. So it was a lot of fun.
Now, in addition to doing roles like this, as I mentioned in the introduction, you also have your own jewelry company, correct?
I do. I launched my line a year ago here in Los Angeles at Fred Siegel, which is a great boutique. And it's just been going really well. It's a lot of fun and another great creative outlet. So I love it.
Well, I was about to ask, is that sort of a different side of your creative brain, being a jewelry designer?
Well, it's definitely, yes, the creative part of it, you know, is artistic and fun and and similar to my passion for acting, but the business side has definitely been a learning curve and something that I've had to sort of go back to. I majored in business in college, and so sort of going back and using those skills has been interesting.
Well, how does it compare, the passion for acting and the passion for jewelry design?
Well, acting, I feel like, is my first real deep passion. And the jewelry line, creating pieces, is a lot of fun. And I love it, too, because I've created pieces that are meaningful. That was one of the things that I really wanted to do, is make jewelry that had a significant meaning to people. So that's been special and fun creating that.
How did that jewelry passion start for you?
When I was working on Hope and Faith in New York, I had a lot of downtime. It was a sitcom schedule, which is pretty easy. We'd go in at 10 a.m. and leave at 4 p.m. Kelly Ripa was on the show, so she would have to get her kids. So we'd all get off early, which was great. So 3 days of the week, it was really, really easy schedule. But I had a lot of downtime, so I started exploring the jewelry district. I had already sort of played with jewels and gemstones and made jewelry for fun. And then I really got into it as I started exploring the jewelry district and buying more stones. And then over the years, I just developed it and thought, you know, I should turn this into a business. So I launched officially a year ago.
It's interesting because, you know, it's not too long ago that I actually had a chance to talk to another actor who also branched out into the jewelry business. Oscar winner George Takiris has his own jewelry line.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are doing it these days. Just finding other aspects of their brands and creating other businesses.
When it comes, getting back to your acting, when it comes to acting, what kinds of roles do you look for? And you've made the transition, because you started acting very young, correct?
I actually am older than I look. So I was in my 20s when I was playing a 15, 16-year-old, which was beneficial to me as I had moved out here after college. And because I looked young, it was sort of easy for me to get into it because I looked young and I could get those roles where I played younger, that life experience to use in my roles. And, you know, now it's just, I love comedy, so I've done a lot of comedy, but I also love drama. So for me, it's just all across the board. I just want a good role that I can sink my teeth into and either have a lot of, I mean, no matter what, it's fun. So I love all of it.
Now, going back a little bit, because you talked about Hope and Faith, you did not stay with that show, correct? Your character was actually replaced.
Yes, by Megan Fox.
Sorry, go ahead.
Which was pretty crazy. It was after the first season, and it was, I don't know if it was an age thing, it was just one of those things. And the show had already, I actually replaced somebody else for the show, so they had been, and the father was replaced. There was a grandfather character that had just been completely written off, and then the little boy had been replaced three times. So I think it was sort of something that was happening a lot for that show.
Sort of a revolving door on that particular program.
Yes, and the audience, I think, was upset because, you know, they're following these characters. So when you just, you know, pull the rug out from under them and bring somebody else in, I think it was a little bit shocking. But it was a great experience when I was on it, and I had a blast. So that's what I try to focus on.
So what, again, we talked a little bit about types of things you look for. What are you working on next? What's up for you next?
Well, it was pilot season, so I've just been auditioning. So it's just, you just audition until you find that role. And it's pretty crazy right now because a lot of movie actors are doing TV. So it's harder than when I first started. It's a lot more competitive, and you've got the movie stars doing TV, and there's not a ton of movies being made. So they're all taking the jobs of the normal people.
You've been around for a little bit, and the industry has changed so much. I wanted to talk about that, the fact that at pilot season seems to be very difficult, especially now that the networks seem to be very fragmented. You've got more specialty networks. The major networks don't have the larger part of the pie that they used to have. You would think, to a certain degree, that would show a little bit more opportunities because there are more shows out there, but that's not necessarily always the case, is it?
No, because a lot of it is reality. So they can spend a lot less money and bring in a lot bigger of an audience doing reality. So that's definitely been an issue as well. All these non-scripted shows.
I've had a chance to talk to several actors and actresses, primarily actresses, who have found a niche in perhaps writing and maybe even directing some of their own vehicles to find the parts and roles that they want. Is that something you've ever considered?
Yes, definitely. I've thought of different ideas, so I may, you know, explore those soon. But that's been something, the jewelry line has sort of been my other thing, but I'm definitely open to creating my own, especially like Funny or Die and all these great vehicles for people to showcase their work. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, again, getting back to the jewelry business, between the time that you started your jewelry business or started working on jewelry back when you were working on Hope and Faith as a pastime, to the time that you turned it into a business and a successful one at that, was that your goal or was it just a hobby that became bigger than it was initially for you?
I think it was both. I think it was a hobby and I think I wanted, you know, this business can be so fickle, so I wanted to do something that I could control. So not only was it a hobby and something that I liked and a creative outlet, I realized that I also wanted to have it be a business as well. So it's been both, and I'm loving it. I'm loving learning all about it and hoping that it continues to grow.
The name of the company, Naomi Gray Designs, comes from a grandmother, I understand?
Yes, my grandmother, my paternal grandmother.
And what made you decide to name the company after her?
I love the name. I think it's beautiful, and she has been so meaningful in my family's life, and so I thought it would be a great, great way to honor her.
People can take a look at some of the designs by going to your website, NaomiGrayDesigns.com, correct?
Yes. Yes, because you're in Canada, so you can't really pop over to the Fred Siegel.
But there's a lot of people who like to do a lot of cross-border shopping, so that's not a problem at all.
No, that would be wonderful.
And people can also...
And perfect Mother's Day gifts, because Mother's Day is coming up. So I have amazing birthstone necklaces and initial necklaces that have been last year in the Us Weekly gift guide, and we're about to be in Us Weekly again. And I believe it's the May 11th on Sam's May 11th issue for things that all mothers should have.
Excellent. And people can also check out Undercover Bridesmaid on the Hallmark Channel. And as the saying goes, they can check their local listings. I thank you very much, Nicole, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Actress Nicole Paggy. You can see her in the Hallmark Channel movie Undercover Bridesmaids. As the saying goes, check your local listings. And you can check out her jewelry line at NaomiGrayDesigns.com. And of course, you'll find a link to her line on my website at TheStuffFile.com. You're listening to The Stuff File with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. More than a year ago, a group calling itself the Center for Science and the Public Interest sued McDonald's over the restaurant's Happy Meals. They had a beef with giving kids toys, claiming that it encourages unhealthy eating. The group couldn't persuade lawmakers to go along with this health food crusade, so it filed a lawsuit trying to force McDonald's to remove the toys from their meals. At the time, one of the nation's largest newspapers conducted a poll and found that 89% of its readers believe McDonald's should not be forced to remove the toys. Now, 15 months later, a judge has finally come to the same conclusion and dismissed the lawsuit. My question is, what took so long? 15 months of litigation over this? Let's be fair, even when lawsuits like this are finally thrown out of court, they cost all of us. In California, where this case was filed, the courts don't even have enough money to stay open 5 days a week. And lawsuits like this are a big reason why. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
Latitude, 47 degrees, 14 minutes north. Longitude, 84 degrees, 39 minutes west. Location, Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nauman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And once again, we are flipping the pages. Stuart Nauman with another edition of Book Banter. Hi, Stu.
Peter Anthony Holder. You're going bonkers, I tell you. Bonkers.
How many coffees have you had today?
None, actually.
Okay.
I thought you liked my Regis Philbin impersonation. Although you couldn't see the arms flailing.
Oh, okay. It was either that or McMurtry from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No. No, that's a little bit more Nurse Ratched. Today, first game of the World Series. No, that we're going to ratchet up a few notches in that respect.
Okay.
Well, on this edition of Book Banter, let's get rid of those impersonations. We're going to talk about Regis Philbin, not Jack Nicholson or Louise Fletcher. Well, you know, for over 25 years, TV viewers have made Regis Philbin and his excitable, to say the least, high-strung rants on his daily syndicated live show with Kathy Lee Gifford and later Kelly Ripa a regular morning viewing habit. And, you know, you got to admit, Regis Philbin has had an impressive career in broadcasting that spanned over 50 years and 17,000 hours in front of the TV camera, which earned him a place in the Guinness Book of World Records. Now, Regis certainly has a lot to be grateful for, and that goes especially for the people he has encountered throughout his life and have contributed to his success in such a volatile business, which is the premise of his second memoir that was published recently called, following his so-called retirement, called How I Got This Way. Now, this is basically Regis's tribute to the people who contributed to his personal and professional life. Each chapter is dedicated to a certain individual and how Regis's encounter with them influenced him. It's filled with plenty of entertaining anecdotes that Regis probably recounted in some way, shape, or form during his 25-odd years on live, complete with arms waving and voice reaching an excitable pitch. For example, Rat Pack member Joey Bishop, who gave Regis his first national TV exposure as the second banana on his ABC late night talk show from 1967 to 69, ignoring the advice of his managers and agents who told him that they should not hire young Regis. Or the three legendary Notre Dame football coaches, Frank Leahy, Lou Holtz, and Eric Parseghian, who became good friends with Regis.
Well,
and of course,
Regis basically is that school's mascot.
unofficially, yes. You know, that little fighting Irish guy, and they probably modeled after Regis.
Yes.
But you know what? I have a feeling, Peter, if Regis was around 90 years ago, he probably would have struck up a friendship with Notre Dame's iconic coach, Newt Rockne.
Yes.
Surprised. Probably would have done a segment on being one of the four horsemen. And of course, there are the women in his life, you guessed it, Kathy Lee Gifford, Kelly Ripa, and his wife Joy, whom he proclaims is his life.
Well, what about the other women before that?
Oh, like Mary Hart.
Mary Hart.
Sarah Purcell.
Exactly, yes.
Garvey.
Yes.
All blondes.
All blondes.
Yeah. What happened to their careers after that? I don't know. But this book has that hint of inspirational. Each chapter ends with a sort of life lesson that Regis imparts upon the reader of what each personal encounter has taught him, which he entitles, What I Took Away From It All. Quite a career, I guess. But How I Got This Way may not be the classic example of autobiography, but as a collection of backstage life and showbiz stories, it certainly delivers. And with Regis adamantly maintaining that he is not retiring, I guess there will be more stories about the next phase of his showbiz career to fill a third book.
Well, I know he was in L.A. not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, taking meetings. So he's not done.
No, no, not at all. And by the way, we have a sixth degree of being in this one.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. In the beginning of the book, Regis describes during his time at the Joey Bishop show how Joey engineered a little duet with one of Regis's favorite singers on the show. And Regis didn't expect this. And now it wasn't Dean Martin. It was an impromptu duet with Bing Crosby.
Der Bingle. How nice.
Der Bingle.
Wow.
Yeah,
excellent.
Not bad, huh?
So the book is?
How I Got This Way by Regis Philbin. It's published by It Books, which is an imprint of HarperCollins. And it's $28.99. And if you like books about talk shows, two quick recommendations by the same author, Bill Carter, national media reporter for the New York Times. His two-volume story, The Late Shift and The War for Late Nights, about how the talk show wars erupted back in the 90s and the 2000s. And it was all the quest to, you know, get Johnny Carson's chair on The Tonight Show. Great books, great inside story. Bill Carter is a great fly-in-the-wall reporter. I recommend those very highly. And by the way, Regis does pay some lip service in these books, but does not play a major role. Great books.
I should mention, too, that I'll second your motion on that about Bill Carter's work. He's an amazing writer.
Oh, he certainly is. Just makes me wonder what aspect of TV he's going to tackle next in his next book. Look forward to it whenever that happens.
How can people get in contact or find you, Mr. Nullman, out there in cyberspace or on the Dead Tree version?
Yeah. Well, in the Dead Tree version, they could chop down a tree or get a paper of the West End Times, get the most recent edition, or plan to go the electronic version, go www.westendtimes.ca. You can find me either way.
Thank you very much, Stu.
You're welcome, Peter.
Stuart Nullman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And we're in the home stretch here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Got a few more Stuff File stories for you and, of course, an idiot of the day. But I want to remind you that you can hear the Stuff File program on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone or any mobile device that you have. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Stuff File program, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find the Stitcher app at the App Store. Download it. It's free and takes just a few seconds. And then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Stuff File. And again, Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's S-T-U-P-H-F-I-L-E. And you'll get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you, and it's in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows as well, too. Always available to you on demand with no syncing. At least 5,000 other shows are available to you on Stitcher, 5,000 and counting. There are a lot of them. It's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smart way to listen to radio. So don't forget, just enter the promo code STUFFFILE when you register and you download Stitcher. More Stuff File news for you here in Sarasota County, Florida. 52-year-old Bruce Richard Hood agreed to drive home someone he met at a bar on Saturday night. And the two then went to Taco Bell, where the passenger bought a bag of tacos. When the passenger got out of Hood's car, he grabbed the wrong bag, taking instead Hood's bag of harmonicas by mistake. The passenger told deputies that Hood got out of the car saying, "Give me my harmonicas." Not knowing about the bag mix-up, the passenger stood there dumbfounded. That's when Hood allegedly attacked, stabbing the other man in the wrist and chest. When police arrived, they found the bag of tacos still on the floorboard of the car. Hood was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. You know, someone screaming at you, "Give me my harmonicas," is not a sentence you hear every day. Yeah. Anyway. Could it be a case of virgin chimpanzee birth? The rise of the Planet of the Apes? Well, it certainly is odd that even after undergoing vasectomies, male chimpanzees at a sanctuary for retired research chimpanzees managed to cause two pregnancies. In the meantime, the other females have been put on birth control and the males are getting another round of vasectomies. The first recent pregnancy at the Chimp Haven Incorporated facility near Shreveport, Louisiana, was discovered on Valentine's Day when a worker noticed Flora, a 29-year-old chimp, was carrying a newborn. An ultrasound confirmed that 49-year-old Ginger was also pregnant and due in late summer. The sanctuary's director, Linda Brent, said it was quite a shock, noting that all of the males in the group have been vasectomized. Two of them had been vasectomized twice. It seems the male chimps were able to grow back the tube that carries sperm from the testicles, even though veterinary surgeons cut out about 3 inches of each tube and closed the ends. You know, just about every guy who hears this story is smiling for some reason, and women don't understand why. To Hollywood, Florida next. They have to deal with the same problems as a lot of other cities. Signs shilling various commercial offerings along public medians. And while it is illegal, the offenders must be caught in the act to be charged. Now, it occurred to me, said the mayor, Peter Bobber, that they want us to call, so we're going to call, and we're going to keep calling until their heads are spinning. The city's robocall system calls numbers on the advertisements up to 20 times a day. The recorded message tells the advertisers that their signs were illegally placed and that to stop the calls, they need to report to the court, receive a citation, and file paperwork reporting that the signs were removed. After just one day, said Bobber, we've already heard from multiple people who want the calls to stop as quickly as possible. Finally, at last, a creative use of the robocall system. Don't you just love it? Elsewhere, when cosmetologist Susan Cole, 57, showed up as summoned for jury duty at the Denver District Court, she looked like a wreck. Her hair was in curlers, her socks and shoes didn't match, and her makeup looked like something you would wear during a theater performance, said a court reporter. I broke out of domestic violence in the military, Cole told the court, and I have had a lot of repercussions. One is post-traumatic stress disorder. She said she lived on the street, and a sympathetic judge and Mansfield quickly excused her. Okay, flash forward several months later. Cole was on a radio show in Denver allegedly bragging about how she faked the story and how amusing her salon clients thought her tactics were. Among the listeners to that show, Judge Mansfield, who recognized the woman from her court. Cole has been charged with perjury and attempting to influence a public servant, both felonies. Cole is the author of a book to help you deal with difficult relationships and situations through understanding passages from the Bible. Yeah, well, apparently not including the Ten Commandments in this case. You know, she came close to being the idiot of the day, but she's not. But we do have for your listening pleasure right now this week's Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This stuff I present, the Idiot of the Day.
Police say an alleged car thief's series of accidental 911 calls led to his eventual arrest. On March 14th, a Valley Communications dispatch operator answered a 911 pocket dial or accidental phone call. The operator could hear several men speaking, though it was obvious that they didn't realize that there was an open line. After listening in for several minutes, the operator realized the men were talking about stealing cars. The operator dispatched officers to the phone's coordinates. Somehow, the caller remained on the line for nearly 45 minutes as he and another man drove around Renton, Washington, discussing the kind of cars they were going to steal. Well, officers weren't able to track the men down, but they did respond to a call about a stolen gray Toyota 4Runner in downtown Renton. 4 days later, the dispatch service received another 911 call from the same phone number. Then, later that night, they received another. In the second call of the night, the operator recognized the same man's voice from the earlier call. He was arguing with another man about a gray Toyota 4Runner parked in an apartment complex. The man told his partner to park next to the 4Runner and pull what he referred to as the stolen rims off the car they were currently driving. The operator again dispatched police to the area where the call came from. Officers soon found an abandoned Honda with custom rims, and after doing a little digging, they learned that the Honda had been reported stolen earlier in the day. Now, though they had the car, the officers did not find the thieves. Weeks went by without any news about the car thieves when, on April 1st, yes, April 1st, the dispatch center received yet another 911 pocket dial from the same phone number. Okay, police were able to trace the call to an apartment complex in the Renton Highlands, and when they arrived on scene, they found an occupied car in the apartment's parking lot. Inside the car was 40-year-old Wesley Strom, who told police that his cell phone sometimes calls 911 for no apparent reason. Officers confirmed that Strom's cell phone was the same one that called 911 and learned that he lived next to the spot where the stolen Honda was found. Strom was arrested on an outstanding warrant and interviewed about the stolen cars and strange phone calls. When confronted with recordings of the 911 calls, Strom admitted to have been in a number of stolen vehicles, including the 4Runner, the Honda, and several other cars, according to officials. He was charged with possession of the stolen 4Runner and the Honda. Now, how do you manage to pocket dial 911 not once, not twice, not three times, but four times while you're committing crimes? Well, there is only one reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0139. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com. And once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and again, that's 0139. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You could also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Void where prohibited, offer slightly different in Canada. For a complete transcript of this program, next time write down everything Peter says.